Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 362. Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of this tape or CD at the end of the program. It's absolutely free of charge. Postage and handling is also the same, free of charge. We have some music today, possible testimonies, but I've got a message, very powerful message, important. More important than people in this world think. It's obvious that they don't think so. But you'll know that after I tell you this, what the Lord wants me to tell you today, that you're going to know that it's extremely important and that you're probably going to resent the message very much, because I know that the percentage of people in this world that don't believe in this message, but believe me when I tell you, it comes directly from the Lord. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, open up the windows of heaven. Open the gates of the windows of heaven and pour out your Spirit. Anoint this service so that the people in the world and the church will understand it completely, that their souls might be saved and the church will be start becoming the church by living the church life, that their souls of the people of the world will be rapidly saved, because the flying saucers that people have been seeing, you give me the revelation of what that's all about. It's that the angels of the Lord are surveying the earth and showing us these the way that the church must be. The church must be a wheel with Christ in the center of it, a wheel within the wheel. Just like in the book of Revelations, where it's the, for you're standing, Jesus, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, or the lampstands. Lord, I ask that you do this to show how perfect the entire church must be. It has to be perfect. Just as the perfection of the speed of lightning, of the flying saucers, and that they are, they move when you move. That's the church of God moves when you move. Even in the Old Testament, Lord, you tell us that when you told Moses to move, well, then the church must pack up and move. And that's the way that the church in these latter days must be even more powerful and move more swiftly. And it's happening right now. The flying saucers, the church must begin living the church life, because we're joined together by joints and bands. We're in the War of Armageddon. This is a war of words. It's our words, the Lord's words, your words, Father, against the words, the degrading words of Satan. You see all these different secular television programs that are going to, they're saying that they've discovered a new thing about you. Jesus, there is no new thing about you. Hey, everything that you said that you would be doing in these last days, you're doing. It's so close to the end of time that you're signifying with the flying saucers that the church must make you their center. It's in the book of Ezekiel and the book of Revelation, where you're in the midst of the light. You are the light, and you are our light, and we are the lights of the world, because that we are joined together as one body, and you being our head, the husband being the head of the wife, and she the body, and so she must have her husband and the Lord, and just as the Lord within her, and focus on her. The reason so many people are not in saved today, or not, and many churches are going to hell, is because they refuse to live the church life. Lord, we ask that you show these things to the people in the world and in the church, that their souls might be saved. Amen and amen. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm singing the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is a battle of God's word against Satan's word. It's a battle between where God is fighting for the souls of human beings, and Satan is fighting to not release them, because misery loves company. And Satan knows for sure, and the angels that followed him they know they're going to hell, for sure. And there's no repentance for them. They're not going to be saved. They've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, their misery loves company, and they want to do everything in their power to take everybody in this world with them. And that's why there's so much chaos and confusion in the world today, because Satan has been thrown down to earth, and he's everything is insane, because the Bible says that he's full of wrath, because he knows Satan and his angels know that their time is near. It's very near. They're going to burn in hell and in the lake of fire forever. And here I am to sing the battle of Armageddon, the war of words between God and Satan for the soul of man.
There's a mighty battle coming, and it's well now on its way. It'll be fought at Armageddon. Oh, it'll be a bad, bad day. In the book of Revelation, verse in chapter 16, say, they'll be gathered their great armies for the battle on that day.
Praise the Lord. Yes, this song, unfortunately, doesn't tell the whole story. We're so close to the end of time right now, and the Lord said that he's going to shorten the time, because things would be so bad in the last days that no flesh, no human being would be able to live. They wouldn't be able to survive the things that are happening on earth in the last days, and he's shortening the time. And that's why the flying saucers came down. It was around 41 years ago when I first saw them with my wife. We both witnessed them, and I didn't know what it meant. And then just a few days ago, when I was reading again the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, where it stated that These are definitely from God. They're not from Mars. They're not Martians. You see, everything that God does, Satan has a counterfeit. You see, God has his real church here on earth. They are the ones that have the kingdom of heaven in their midst, which is Christ. Christ is the kingdom of heaven. And he lives in his body, his church. And know you not that you are the temple of God, and that you're the body of Christ? Excuse me. Still got the aftermath of this flu that I had. pray for me, everybody. You know, I don't have enough time to pray for myself as much as I ought to. But the Lord showed us these things because I didn't. When the Lord talked to me in the office in Beverly Hills, he said, stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And then the second time he told me, I thought, I'm going crazy, so I'm going to turn myself into a private mental institution. And that I would eventually rehab, or whatever they call it. And then I would get back out in the world and nobody would think anything about it. As a matter of fact, even today, you know, people think it's, you know, kind of a class thing, you know. People are class conscious, you know. They see these movie stars going down to that rehab place in Malibu out here in California. And when they come out, everybody still loves them and everything. And I realized that my friend Don Gibson, who wrote I Can't Stop Loving You and Old Lonesome Me and a bunch of songs like that, he had an alcohol problem. And so he went to, I think it was Camarillo out here, to rehab, and everybody still loved him when he came out, so and didn't disrespect him. So I thought I'd go to one of those rehab places for a while, make some wallets, or you know, string some beads, or do finger painting, or whatever they do in there. And then after I come out, well, you know, people would still think I'm. I thought I'm not a genius. Everybody calls me a genius promoter, and you know, impresario or whatever. And that they would still want to hire me, and I wasn't worried about that. But I thought, boy, I'm really flipping up because I'm a genius, you know. And I think maybe people that are geniuses flip out now and then. And I was almost around 30 years old at that time. And so I thought, and then I started to get up, and this power, the spirit that was upon me, was like a strong ray of sunshine without the scorching of the, it was like mellow, wouldn't let me up. And he says, doubt not, I am the Lord thy God. Stand upon your feet and tell these people about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And my brain opened up, and I knew without a doubt that there was a heaven and a hell. And I can't. It's just the Lord did that. He took the veil off of my spiritual eyes and the veil off of my mind, because the Lord said he'd do that in the last day. When the Jews stated that, let his blood be upon us and our children, crucify him, crucify him. That was a bunch of ungodly Jews back then. But there were a lot of godly Jews that were followers of Christ. And then right after his resurrection and ascension into heaven, and then on the day of Pentecost, there are thousands of Jews that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a woman that was on an interview program with Craig Szymanski yesterday, and there was a woman, a caller, that says, I would never be a Jew, I'm a Christian. Well, let me tell you, I told her, let me tell you, lady, you have to bow down and kneel down before the world's greatest Jew, because he's the Savior of the world. And the first Christians were Jews, and they were not, they were Arabs. Well, you better, another one said that they were Arabs. So I said, well, you better study the scriptures. And first of all, get born again, because you don't know the word. You don't know spiritual things, and spiritual things are foolishness unto you. And so that's what it was. I thought I was crazy when God was talking to me. Now, I'd listen intently to human beings who are of no account whatsoever. I'd listen to them. And when the Lord was talking to me, it was like, I'm going crazy. In other words, as though God can't talk. He that formed the tongue, can he not speak? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And he that made the eyes in your sockets, can he not see? Yes, he can. Amen.
Amen.
So then when that he opened up my brain and I knew there was heaven and hell, then this power came down upon me. he gave me a little foretaste of how actually how awful powerful he is. He holds the whole universe up with that Holy Spirit of his, and he knows everything. I mean, he knows every grain of dust, every piece of sand. Why would he want to know those things? I have no idea, but everything was created by him and for him, and that's Jesus did that. The Bible clearly tells us, and everything was for him, and so everything that he created is very precious to him, and that's why he knows everything. He gives life to plants. He gives life to birds and to fish and to fowl, beasts of the field like cows and antelope and buffalo and gazelles. He did everything. So I'm in this office. Even the bugs he gives life to. Anything that has life, it comes. It's a temporal life, but it comes from the Lord, and He wants us humans. Because we've fallen away because of Adam and Eve's sin, that we came out of them, and so therefore everything is tainted because that our original mother and father were tainted with sin, and that sin actually was disobedience to God. So disobedience is the same kind of a sin as being a witch. Being disobedient is the same sin as being a witch or being into witchcraft. And the whole world is deceived. And you see, even the little children are into witchcraft now. And the parents are allowing them to do that because the parents obviously are ignorant and they don't know the spiritual things any more than I did before I went into that office. And that was just the beginning. God was just showing me then that He existed. And He was showing me then His power. And so I thought, well, if there's a God, there's a devil. And maybe this is the... So I finally was able to shove myself up, and the spirit inside of me was going in, being pulled right out of my mouth and back into my mouth, into my body, back and forth, until I says, I'll tell Him, God, I'll tell Him. And then the room was full of movie stars, and I had 6 motorcycle police there because I rented a motorcade, a limousine, and 6 motorcycle off-duty L.A. police officers, LAPD. And they were in there, and this singer that I was promoting at the time was in there, and we had a whole staff of people, about 11 other people in there, and I didn't want them, because I had already invested a lot of money in this Bobby Jameson, and I didn't want to lose these people because I didn't want people to think I was crazy. The reason I did promotion is because I wanted people to know that I was the smartest person on the face of this earth. No one was smarter than me because I'm going to outdo the Beatles. And eventually the Beatles even wanted me to manage them and the Rolling Stones after I did that promotion for Bobby Jameson. Even P.J. Proby wanted me to do his promotion for him. And he told me on the phone, you know, everybody here in England believes that one of these people dress up in a suit, or one of these, I forget what kind of suit you call it, but and they have a flashlight. They believe that's a promotion in Europe, you know, waving a flashlight back and forth, telling them to come into the theater. He says, you've blown everybody's mind, man. He says, come out here, and he says, I mean, you could take over the whole industry out here. And I said, well, I can't come out there now. And he said, well, if you can, you can stay at my place. And I had all kinds of opportunities like that, and I still have opportunities like that today, because people know after I did the promotion for the singer Ravone, he's an opera singer, that I made a star in 90 days and put him into the Dunes Hotel just after I was saved, just after I'd seen all these visions. Dreams, signs, and wonders. And when the Spirit was going in and out of me in that office, I knew that I had to do it, this force. Whether it be God or Satan, I don't know who it is, but I'm going to obey Him. Because the same one is the one that says He's going to pour out wrath on the face of this earth. Tsunamis, earthquakes, everything. And he's going to be the one that's actually going to, with a shout of the archangel, going to wake every dead person in the grave, wake them up and raise them from the dead. This is power, folks. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to serve that one. To me, everything in the world became trash in my eyes. I don't want anything to do with the Beatles. The Beatles, you know, except to win their souls, if I can. But I didn't think about that because I never thought that the Lord would make a soul winner out of me. I didn't know what that was. And so, it's the end of time. I thought the world was going to come to an end then, because things were weird back then. Everybody went crazy, the hippie movement, and all these things. And then I met my wife, Susie, and Susie started telling me told her that the Lord told me that he's coming back to earth again. And I says, did you know that? Well, first she said to me, Tony, do you know that the Lord is coming back to earth again? I said, how did you know? Did he come and tell you also? And she says, Tony, she started laughing. She said, it says it all the way through the Bible. And so I decided to, I said, show me, will you show me? And she said, yes. So she started reading the Bible to me and showing me the different places where it said that. And I said, well, then that was the Lord. Because he said the same thing to me, and I never read a Bible in my life. One time I picked it up, I couldn't understand anything it was saying, but now after I was saved, when the Spirit of God came into me, and I never was saved there, I went searching to all the different churches, a lot of them here in the Los Angeles area, and none of them were preaching that. They were all preaching that God never threatens anybody. Well, I knew they were liars because the Lord threatened me. He said, I'll do that or I'm going to die. Okay, and then I opened the Bible when Susie was reading it, and I saw that the Lord warned Ezekiel the same thing. And all the major prophets, you'll do what I tell you or I'm going to send your soul to hell. And also, you know, you people in the world, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to drown you. And he did drown them. And to the homosexuals and the lesbians, they said, well, we were born that way. Well, that's why you have to be born again of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
You were born out of your mother's womb in days, whether your dad was just having some fun. But now, and then you were born, they were sinning, and you saw them sin, and so you thought, well, who are they that they can sin and I can't? So you did. And you never saw them serving the Lord, and so you didn't. And then all of a sudden, the Word of God comes to you, and then you, that's what happened to me. He came to me, and he told me, I wouldn't listen to anybody because I didn't respect anything they said. I'd listen to them in business deals, but I didn't respect them. I was the number one person in business, I thought, because I never thought anybody, I never saw anybody that I'd like to be like. Okay, I was satisfied with my brain, I was satisfied with the way I looked, I was satisfied about the way I think, and the way that everything was, except I was getting bitter in life because I saw there's so much phoniness in the world, and that women were nothing at all, but they were just, I believed, and I've written a piece of literature, I said I believe that women are house pig, everyone needs to have a house pig. And that's just what I thought until I met Sue. And most of them have proven that, and they prove it on a daily basis, and they're even proving it more today. I'm like, my God, I mean, how horrible can women get? Their eyes are everywhere. They flaunt their bodies in front of people. I mean, so you're homosexual, you're born that way. Well, that's why you need to be born again of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And you're a whoremonger? Well, yeah, you was born. But that's why you need to be born again of the Spirit, because the Spirit of God will come into you just as he did me. And he gives you the power when he enters into you to not like sin anymore. Oh, you'll get tempted now and then, but he'll give you the power to not commit sin any longer. That is if you want to go to heaven. Now, some of you that don't want to go to heaven, it won't matter anyway, because you don't really realize how horrible or how much you'd be tortured. The people in hell and the lake of fire are tortured. Death and hell will be thrown into the lake of fire. So some people say, well, hell is the grave. Then why does it talk about the burning pits of hell? Why does it talk about a schism You know, there's different degrees. There's heaven, there's earth, and there's hell. And then in the center of the earth is the lake of fire. Now, the earth is going to be destroyed by fire, but the earth is not going to be gone away. The Lord is going to burn it and refurbish it and make it a pleasant place, for a wonderful a place for people to live forever. And you won't be able to. You'll be screaming your head off in the lake of fire if you don't do everything the Lord says. And I'd like to read some things here of what the Lord says through the Apostle Paul. And most people don't pay any attention to this, but I want to make this known. The Bible says that this flying saucer is like the same thing as a man and wife, because the Lord is inside the church. He's in the midst of the church. And the husband is inside the wife. He's in the midst of her. The church has got to be centered on the Lord, and the wife, because the church is the wife of the Lord, and the wife must be centered on the husband, or else, and the Lord, you know, of course. But she's not to be centered on her husband if he's not of the Lord. She's not even supposed to be married to him. Oh, he'll get better. People repent, you know. Well, you're not to take a stand like that, because that's a foolish stand. If you accept him as a sinner, it's unlikely, very unlikely, that he will ever repent. And so you're a very unwise, foolish woman. A fool. Because God said you're to not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. And if some of you women out there don't pay any attention to what the Lord says at all. But let me tell you here. Let's go to the 5th chapter of Ephesians. Alright, now I'll give you a chance to get there. And sometimes I like to do the reading. Even though I am legally blind, I've got glaucoma. But we'll go over here to go to verse 18. Oh, we've dropped down to 19. We're to speak to ourselves, verse 19, chapter 5, Ephesians, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts, in your heart, to the Lord. Well, you'd have to be born again of the Spirit to do that, because if you're not of the Lord, if you're not born again of the Spirit, you don't pay any attention to making melody unto the Lord any more than I did when I was in that office. Until I knew for sure that the Lord existed, I wasn't going to do any godly thing. I was prided myself in being a sinner and just flaunting it. And that's why I have mercy on the people in the world that don't know the Lord yet. I witness to them and testify to them, because I was in the same boat 42 years ago, almost 43, that you're in right now. And the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Well, one of the things that you people should be giving thanks for is that there's the Word of God, and that God has sent people like myself into the world to tell you what the Word says, because he doesn't want you to go to hell in the lake of fire. He doesn't want you to be tormented eternally. It's bad enough on this earth, but this is like a walk in the park, a Sunday school picnic. This is like Disney World or Disneyland, which I don't like, but kids like it. So, giving thanks always for all things, but do it unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the reason that we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is because of the fact that he was God, came into the world in the flesh. The reason he came here, as I believe I said before, is because he had to have genuine human blood in order to shed it for us, to wash all of our former sins away. If you believe that by faith, then you're saved. This was a, there's symbols of this thing, this very thing, in the Old Testament all the way through. And I've written a piece of literature called the Messiah Book that you can read and see the 333 prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he fulfilled every one of them, even to the date that he would be born, as it mentions in Daniel, and the very day that he would die. And then the Bible tells us that he would die with nail-pierced hands and feet, pierced in the side, sold for 30 pieces of silver, and that he would be a Jew. And even in the New Testament, the Samaritan woman asks him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, speak to me?" Because it was not yet given for Jews to preach to Gentiles. But Jesus showed that it was all right for Gentiles to be saved. So a lot of people think that the Gentiles who started the Catholic Church are the true Catholic Church, and they make Peter the head of the Catholic Church. Well, you know, they make him a pope, in other words. Well, he was a Jew, not an Italian. And he was married, and the Catholic cult doesn't allow people to be married. So what they do is they make believe. And they said that the Catholic was the first church. No, it wasn't. The Jews had the synagogues, and that was the only true religion on earth at the time. The Catholics robbed some of the Jewish things from the synagogues, say, like the lighting of candles. And all the different things that they do, the incense, they have that, and the forgiveness of sins, which the Jews did. But most people don't read the Bible, so they don't know what that means, and they listen to the false religion, which is actually the Antichrist. The great red dragon, the devil, is, the Bible says, gives the power unto this Antichrist cult that is situated in the city of the Seven Mountains. And that, if you go to a ticket agency to buy a ticket to the city of the Seven Hills, ask them, and they'll give you a ticket to Rome. Amen?
Yeah.
Try it. And So this is the Antichrist led by Satan cult in the world. And, of course, they're slandering and maligning and degrading everybody that's a true Christian, just as they did back then. True Christians, they fed to the lions. It was the Roman Catholic soldiers that nailed Jesus to the cross. The Colosseum, which I visited in Rome, is where they slaughtered thousands, maybe millions of Christians. It was a fun game for them. And how could a cult like that, the Roman Empire, be anything other than the Antichrist when they're the ones that's running the government? And, you know, I used to be a patriotic person to the United States government, because I love the government, I love the Constitution, but the popes all say to hell with the U.S. Constitution, because they guarantee the freedom of religion to any church. And but then they say it's for us and us only, the Vatican. And we're living right now in the United States under Roman canon law. And since we joined the United Nations, they have been used. They couldn't get anywhere without the United States, because we have the greatest, most powerful army and Navy and Marines in the world. But now they don't even allow us to call it the U.S. Navy, the Army, or the Marines. They'll court-martial you if you say that you are. They want you to be called by the U.N. Army. United Nations Army. If we pulled out of the United Nations, the United Nations would be nothing, because the rest of the people are a bunch of third world countries and living off of us like leeches. And the devil, Rome's right arm, the devil's right arm, and the government is run by the Antichrist cult, the Roman Catholic cult. And what they're doing is they're using our young men and women to go into different countries and bomb them so that they become, quote, democratic, unquote. The Roman Catholic cult is the one that came up with the theory of democracy, that was, in other words, mob rule. And that there'd be dictators, but they would be able, through the media, to sway the mob, in other words, the general public, into believing whatever they wanted them to believe. And so they fashion everything through the media and through the world government, and the world government is the one that enforces the will of Satan, who uses the Pope as the head of that cult. This is Satan's machine. The cult in Rome, the world government, and the media, that is the mouth of Satan, and it says all these things. So, but we, you know, we can't join that, because it's the same as joining the Antichrist. We're supposed to be united, joined to Christ. So the Lord says that we're to give thanks because we know these things. Give thanks always for all things that we know unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God came in the flesh. Sure, we thank Jesus. We thank Jesus because he came here and told us what God likes and doesn't like and tells us the rules and regulations for being able to get into the kingdom of heaven. And if we follow them, if we don't disbelieve them like Eve did, well, then we'll be able to stay in the body of Christ like the flying saucers. If Christ is in our midst, if we let him live in us and we live in him, then we're saved. Now, we must submit, he says, verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Not the reverence, the fear of God. Did you know when God spoke on the mount in the wilderness there that everyone feared him so much the entire nation heard him talking, and there were thunderings and lightnings and the sound of blasts of trumpets and smoke billowing up. Every one of them, they didn't say, oh, we reverence you, Lord. They all fell on their faces, and they were screaming. And they told Moses, let God talk to you. Moses, don't let him talk to us, because we're afraid we'll die, because just a fear that came into them. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is wisdom. If you don't fear God, you're as stupid as a goose. Okay? So that's just a... And then the Bible says that the fear of the Lord maketh a man's face to shine. You happy because you know the truth. And that's why you thank God, giving thanks always for all the things that the Lord has taught you unto God. We're not to fear God if we're keeping his commandments. We still fear him to keep his commandments, and therefore... the fear of going to hell is gone. It disappears. Amen?
Amen.
So, and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, why does he want you to fear to have the church life together and be united together in one thought, one spirit, one God? Well, it's because you have to become like a wheel, where everybody's thinking the same way. Everyone is speaking the same truth. Not this false doctrine that you hear, these false preachers preaching today. The Lord warned about these false teachers and prophets. He says, you know, he warns very strongly against them. Take heed how you hear. Okay, so submitting yourselves one to another because you're the children of God. And you want to do it, God says, and God, Christ, is living in your midst. And you're like a wheel within a wheel. You're like the seven golden candlesticks, which are the seven churches of the Lord. The seven churches in Asia. And he walks in your midst. Otherwise, you're not of the Lord. It isn't a political situation at all. It's the furthest thing from it. If I was a politician, I wouldn't come out against the Vatican. Because... they've threatened my life. They've hired people to murder me. Why would I do that unless I have the fear of God? Because God told me to do it. That's why. And I fear God because I'm wise. And I fear God more than I do the weak and beggarly elements of this world, the devil, the world. All that is in the world, the Lord says, love it not. Don't love this world, because all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Flee from the very appearance of evil, the Lord says. So it says here also, now this is going to be repugnant to a lot of you females out there, married women. Wives, submit yourselves unto your, not just your husband, but your own husband. You stay out of the face of other people's husbands. I want you to read as unto the Lord. In other words, you're supposed to submit yourself to your own husband as you would the Lord. Now, if your eyeballs are searching all around for another love affair, searching in the night for a new love to brighten up the night, I have you, love, and even though you're not of the Lord, I mean, we can have music together, dancing in the dark. Yeah, you're in the dark if you're... eyes are rolling around the earth. Your eyes should be on heaven. Amen?
Amen.
On the Lord. Is that right?
Amen.
Okay, so read what submit. I mean, you wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now read what submit means.
Cease resistance.
Huh?
Cease resistance.
Don't resist him. But, you know, if your husband is not of the Lord, you don't have any obligation to do that. This is in the body of Christ that he's talking about. So don't resist your husband, but submit to him in the Lord. If he's telling you what's in the Bible, do it, or else you will not be a member of the body of Christ. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, and it's obvious that you don't, because 70% of the people in the United States, first of all, 50% of the marriages don't last, the first marriage. The second marriage, 60% of them don't last. And the third marriage that people have, 70% of them doesn't last. And the other 30% are out there committing adultery on their wives, or on their husbands, rather. And their husbands are committing adultery on their wives. They're not submitting themselves unto him as they... would the Lord. All these scriptures are just old-fashioned. They are the Word of God, and that's why this whole world is crumbling, because there's no more family unit. Yeah, the husband and the wife are the closest unit. The Lord likens it as a flying saucer. It's the same as the church and the center of the church. Now, the husband is to be the center of the wife. And the Lord tells the husband to love your wives. Well, what does that mean? He says, because the Lord washed you in his blood and filled you with the Spirit, washed you with the Word of God. And that's what the husband, if he's a godly man, then he's going to be providing for you and also providing eternal life for you. Well, how is that? Well, because he labors in the Word and he preaches the Word to his wife. And he fulfills his duty. And he said he also provides for the children. And he preaches the gospel to them. And he also goes into the world and teaches the people in the world. I am an excellent, godly husband. Okay, because I considered myself, the Lord considers himself married. In other words, he's trying to love everybody by letting you know the Word, and I'm trying to show you love. Love is not lust. Love is not sex. If you're married, it's permissible. The marriage bed is not defiled. You can have sex if you're married. But if you're married, you keep your eyeballs in your head. You're not supposed to be wandering after these cute guys. Because there's always going to be cute guys, but are they worth going to hell in the lake of fire for? If they are, well, then go at it, because that's where you're going to be. You're not submitting. You're to submit to your own husbands as you were submitting yourself to the Lord. In other words, your husband is your Lord. It's the same as the Lord because his head is the Lord and he is the Lord's body. And you're joined to the body of Christ through your husband. And that's why the Lord says, pay attention to nobody else's husband. Yeah, it says, submit yourself only to your own husband. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, the women out in the world got a lot to learn. Who can find a virtuous woman? You read the last chapter of Proverbs so that you can see, women, what a virtuous woman is. Now, I never found a virtuous woman in the world until I found my wife, Sue, until God gave her to me. And I knew she was of the Lord because the Lord gave her to me in visions. And so, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as though you're doing it unto the Lord. Now, read another what submission, submit is.
Give way.
Give way to your husband. Don't argue with him. I mean, if he's of the Lord, he's telling you what the Lord says. Don't you start firing back at him because he's liable to get grounds that mean for a divorce. Because we're not to be married unequally to unbelievers. And if you don't keep this commandment, then you're an unbeliever. And I have nothing to do with you. Okay, then what?
Yield
to your husband because he's the same as the Lord to you, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then what?
Surrender oneself to the control of another.
Right. So the Lord is the control of the husband. And the husband, if he's in the Lord, is to control you. I mean, you're to submit yourself to the control of the Lord. It's the same as your husband. It says that right here. Amen?
Amen.
For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is, the Lord is the Savior of the body. But if you are not in the body, if you're not submitting to your godly husband, then you're not part of the body at all. You've disjoined yourself. The church of God, the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem, the wife of God is joined together with joints and bands and sinews. It's a body. It's like your arm doesn't go off a whoring someplace while the rest of your body is together. Or your eyes don't go a whoring someplace. Or your ears don't go a whoring. You're to learn also from your own husband. Of course, you're supposed to listen to the pastor, the prophet, the teacher, the preacher. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if they're preaching the true word. But so few people pay any attention to this. You can see the divorce rate climbing, and you can see children without... It's just a common thing today to say, well, this is a lone mother and her child. Or the husband is gone somewhere, we don't know, because he's not respectable. He's not to be respected. You're not to submit to ungodly people. And so the church, and he, the Lord, is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Not just a few things or some things, but everything. Husbands, love your wives. Well, I do. I've preached the gospel to my wife and to my children and to you. That's love. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. So, husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, he loved the wheel outside of the wheel. He loved the church so that he and the church become one. He and the church are, he's the husband, the bridegroom, and the church is his wife. And you don't see these flying saucers with the particles falling out from them. They are one.
They're one, just like a husband and wife are one. The Lord gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify it, so the husband has the duty of being a husband, just as the Lord is a husband to the church, that he might sanctify the woman, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So if I keep preaching the water of the word to my wife, then it cleanses her, and it keeps her standing on a day-to-day basis. And if she doesn't appreciate that, and if she's not thankful for it, then she's not of the Lord. I mean, what would ever please a woman that they'd have somebody that could guide you into the kingdom of heaven? Is there something more important? You want to go to hell, the lake of fire? God called me from heaven to do these things. And if you don't appreciate it, you're not thankful for it, well then, you know, all you people out there. Well then, who are you but the devil? Amen?
Amen.
That the Lord, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. He's washed it by his word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. A glorious church, that means the glory of God is in you because you obey the Lord. There's no glory of God in you if you don't do what he says. He's not going to live in you. He's not going to be the center of you, because you're not. He's not your center. Your mind is centered on the things of the world. Your mind is centered on other men. Your mind is centered on anything other than the Word of God. You read it, but you don't understand it. You don't want to understand it, because you want to live according to your flesh. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not a glorified church. The glory of the Lord was that he was resurrected from the dead. In other words, he wants you, and your husband of the Lord wants you to be resurrected from the dead with him, because you're joined to him. But if you disjoin yourself from him, you will not resurrect from the dead. Trust the Lord on that one. Amen?
Amen.
On everything. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. And all these phony preachers saying, there's nobody can be holy. No one is perfect, but the Lord says that those flying saucers, that the church with the body of Christ are perfect. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to try to say that the Lord is not perfect and his body? Well, then you're a liar, you're a devil, you're an antichrist. Amen?
Amen.
All right, it's without blemish or any other thing. So, ought men to love their wives as their own bodies? The Lord wants us to be like him, to give our lives for the wife, because the Lord wants women, as far gone as they are, he wants them to be saved and go to the kingdom of heaven. And this one is, he parallels with the body of Christ and Christ himself. So that's why a man is to leave his mother and father, cleave unto his wife, be joined to his wife, and they too become one flesh, just like the Lord and the church become one Lord. You understand that?
Yes.
All right. I see my time is up. And therefore, this is a message that I had no idea. I knew the part about the Lord and the church and the wives and the husbands, but I had other things in the Lord. I never thought I was going to be giving part of my testimony. But my time is up, and so therefore, those of you that would want to go to heaven, you want to become one with the Lord, then say this prayer. And if you don't, I mean, if you refuse now, it'll be harder for you to accept the next time. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so.
Here where it says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be initially saved. They'll be saved, 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 saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And now just raise your hands and praise the Lord and thank the Lord. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you receive a copy of this audio tape or in other literature and tapes if you like. You're absolutely free.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505. Or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Now be baptized, fully submerged in the water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well so that you have power to be in the ministry. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another powerful message and more truth into this dark world. Right here is H.B. Barnum, his life for our singing, the life for our song.